everybody. Welcome to Street Fight Radio. Glad you're here. Hope you're ready to crack a beer, pack a bowl, get thawed, and hang out with us for an hour. We do this two times a week. The last show we did was our call-in show. It was very marijuana heavy. We talked about mids. We talked about legalized pot. And we went into some of the specific situations that come from being a regular weed user, including getting busted by the police. I hope you all enjoyed that. I thought it was a great show. We just wrapped up a bonus episode with Delete Your Account for their feed. That was phenomenal. So we'll be sharing that link soon. And we have a bonus show with Drew Toothpaste coming out soon on our Patreon feed. Lots of amazing shows are happening. I'm really proud of the stuff we're putting out now and hope to inspire and spread this mess across the U.S. and beyond the borders until there's no borders, until from ice wall to ice wall, everybody is treated the same and we can all live in solidarity together forever and party on like we're supposed to be doing on this flat-ass earth. Thank you for tuning in. My name is Brett Payne. My co-host is Brian Quinby. You can find us on WCRS in Columbus, Ohio. That's on the Pacifica Radio Network. We air every single Sunday at 10 p.m. It'll either be a airing of the podcast episode recorded, or if we're in town, we will take live phone calls. So if you want to get in on the action, about 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, head over to WCRSFM.org, and you can listen to the call-in show live. And man, that last one was good. I loved it.
It was fun. People really seemed to enjoy that one. I got a lot of messages like, oh, that was one of your best call-in shows. I'm like, I think they all get a little better once we get used to, I mean, it's hard. Like call-in shows are like a new thing for us, you know, being able to talk to the listeners directly. I mean, shit, if we had done them before, like a year ago, nobody would have called. I always listen, like I listen to Wrestling Observer Radio every day. And like, you can tell there are times where they're like, oh, we'd really like to take a call, but there aren't any calls. Like, God, that sounds like a nightmare. Yeah,
I don't want to do that.
We've never had to go through that.
I was so concerned. I never wanted to crack the mics because I did not want to be embarrassed. And I'm glad that people show up every single week to call it. And I really appreciate it. And it works out for us. It makes the show better, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And it was fun. It gives people a place to come and do shit too. A little try out your little shit on us. Tell us a story, something like that. We're generally fairly nice. I mean, I'm sure one day I'm going to be mean to somebody, but like that hasn't happened yet. So, you know, what are you going to do? Nobody's called in and Baba Booey'd us yet, but that could happen. Who cares, right?
Yeah,
we need to invent our own Baba Booey so people can call other places and do it, right?
True, 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 true.
Oh, man, what a week this week is, man. It's cold, and I'm miserable. Snowpocalypse? Yeah, it's not a snowpocalypse.
It's kind of warming up. I mean, the snow is gone. It is still 30 degrees out, though.
I'm cold, and I'm tired. I've been laying around in a dark room all day. I'm in a dark place, people. But I'm okay. I'll be okay.
You got that sad? You got that seasonal affective disorder?
It's possible that that happens. I might be sick. We're trying to figure out if I'm sick or fucked up. You know, I'm depressed.
Before we recorded, I was trying to smoke as much weed as possible so the room would smell like that versus those bacteria-laden toxic farts you were laying down.
Yes, I don't fart in real life, but earlier today, my sick farts came out.
Something's wrong.
Something's wrong with me. I'm not feeling well, so I'm just trying to be a lazy boy. But it's also been a weird, like, the XFL got announced today. We're recording this on the day that Vince McMahon announced that he was going to do a new, more respectful football league, which is wild. It's wild as hell to me that, like, he came in 2001. The idea was like, we're gonna fucking come out here and these people are gonna kill each other on this field. They're gonna absolutely, and we're gonna have the hottest cheerleaders in the world, and we're gonna encourage the players to date the cheerleaders. And now he's like, there's gonna be sets of very specific rules. There will not be any cheerleaders. If you have a DUI, you're not allowed to play. And I'm like, this sounds like a nerd football league.
Yeah, I like it, though, because this is the stuff that I would expect if you had $1 billion you would use it on. Like, I hate the way that they're like, I hate reading articles where they just say, like, the richest man in the world keeps all of his money stocked away in some secret account on another side of the globe, you know? I want to see him spend it, you know, on some frivolous shit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean,
he's looking old, man. He's got that grandpa nose, man. His shit looks like a puppet. Like, you can't hide how old you are when you get them big ass ears and nose. Right. Like, you grown. Like, those things never stop growing. He's got that gigantic ass yam nose. It's like, you're old as fuck, bro.
I mean, before you start saying that, just remember he took a stone cold stunner on Monday.
That was so sick.
I mean, he's not going anywhere for a while, I don't think.
Yeah, he might live forever. He could be the one guy that cracks the code.
He is the dude that's afraid. Do you know that he hates sneezing? Like, that he's just like, don't ever fucking sneeze. He hates sneezing.
Cause what does he do? Suck it back in?
You can't control. He just, if you sneeze around him, you are fucked.
You've lost control?
Yeah. It's a control thing with him, he said. And just, you don't fucking ever sneeze around the guy. It's like those fucking billionaires, man. That makes me want to lock him in solitary confinement with somebody that just sneezes. Like me, I sneeze all fucking day. The weird thing is, I like sneezing. Like, I think it feels good. Sometimes I'll look at the sun just so I can sneeze.
Yeah, my favorite thing about sneezing is what I do is I go, achoo! I like scream, and my wife hates it. She gets so scared, and I love being in like the middle of the grocery store and just shouting at the top of my lungs and blaming it on a sneeze. Yeah. I'm like a real, that's why I would get my attention.
Like an old man sneezer.
Yeah, achoo!
I had to be told, like, you don't cover your mouth when you sneeze because I like the stream.
You like to see
mist.
The,
yeah, you know what I mean? I think it's sweet. It's gross, I know. I think it's well good, documented that I'm a gross guy on this show.
It looks good on Pinterest, though.
It does.
Well, it just droplets like busting through like the morning light.
It always like the mist from the sneeze, and then like I think about that flushing the toilet thing all the time, but it has never bothered me once. How they say when you flush the toilet, like poop and pee particles just go everywhere. I've always thought about it. Like every time I flush the toilet with the lid up, I'm like, there's poop and pee particles going everywhere. I just don't care. I do not care even a little bit. And I don't know. Like, I have maybe a form of like anti-germ phobia where I don't take germs seriously enough.
No, I mean, same. I mean, I found out quickly that if you picked up a piece of dog poop, it wouldn't kill you. And then you could throw it at people. And that was hilarious. So, like, yeah, I broke through that germ wall at a very young age.
I did too, but I think people, I just, when I talk to people who have it, like, when I talk to people who have it now, like, it seems like there's a lot of people that have it, but it also seems like a big city thing. It seems like a New York type thing, and that's probably because they're all around each other all the time. Just everything, every person I've ever met that, like, freaks out about shaking hands and stuff like that, it seems like it's a New York thing. It's like, it's stuff I've seen on TV or heard on the radio or from a comedian. It's never something that, like, a person in my life is like, I'll fucking shake your hand. They would lick their hand and shake it. They don't fucking care. Most people are disgusting. I think that's just a made bigger than it actually is because media comes from all big cities where there's a bunch of neurotic people, you know.
It's all conflated.
It is.
All right, that's a good take.
It's something solid take. I don't know if it's a good take. It's my guess.
Yeah, that's what we talked about with Drew, though, is that the proliferation of memes and people, they're like, I'm a total introvert. Like, I just get all of my energy from being alone, and then I spend it once, and then I just have to be back alone again. And it's like, all right, fine, okay. But I wanted to hang out. Like, do you want to go bowling? It's like, I don't care if you found some sort of meaning for your life. It's because you stay home more now, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I want to go bowling or see a movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I like to get out. I mean, that's what we were just talking about before we recorded, is like, maybe I'm just not feeling good because I'm not doing anything.
You gotta do it, man.
I'm not socializing. That's all I like to, like, fucking, you know, people hang out and they're like, oh, we got to play a game, we got to do this, we got to do that, and I'm like, I could just hang out and have conversations, you know what I mean? Like, that's my ideal fun thing, is having conversations and kind of hanging out. Maybe you play a game, you fucking bullshit while you're playing the game or something like that, but like, That's why I don't like bars, because I'm like, what? Turn the music up too loud or you're going to scream in my fucking ears?
Don't do me like that.
Yeah, well.
Don't do me like that.
They're going to play Don Henley. I know that's Tom Petty, but they play, what's that song we listened to before? Oh, Mike and the Mechanics.
Heart of the Matter.
Well, we were digging Mike and the Mechanics in those living years. That was, say it loud.
Say it loud. Oh, say it. Yeah.
All right, let's do some news stories, man.
Yeah, but yeah, I that's what I have to say, though. My advice, you got to get out there. Like, you can go to the library is free to go to, and also the library satisfies that need where you feel like you went shopping, because you can be like, I want to read this. I want to watch this. And you can just grab everything off the shelf and take it home with you. So that's good advice. But I've been pimping the Dave & Buster's arcade card, man. I've been doing like, I buy their special where I spend $20 and they give me a $20 credit, and then I go on half off days, so I get like $80 worth of games. And I've just been trying to do, I don't know, I just have been doing stuff, and that's what you got to figure out.
Right, yeah.
You got to have a place to go, something fun inside. But it all costs money. I mean, that's the thing too, is it's like, I don't want to spend $60 just to not feel like shit at my house. You know, I'd rather just feel like shit here at my house than spend $60.
Sit in my house and feel like shit all day.
Yeah.
Not talking to fucking anybody. I mean, my whole family's gone during the day because my job is stupid and their jobs are normal, or their lives are normal. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, there's still movies. You can try to, you know, go to a movie. You can. Yeah.
So let's go with the big story this week. We'll hit the big headline, right? Like, because the news starts. Alexa, shut the fuck up already. Jeez. So the big story this week in the street fight world is Bank of America, right? Raising their fees.
Ripped them off.
Ripping them off. Well, I don't know. I mean, like, so.
Ripped them off.
Oh, yeah. So. I'm going to, because we kind of almost did this show last night, but we fucked up the recording, which is why the Drew toothpaste recording doesn't sound great. My fault. I'm sorry. I apologize. So what I've been led to understand is that Bank of America used to have an account where you didn't have access to tellers. You didn't have access to the inside of the bank, but you had access to the ATM and you had your online banking account that you could go through your balance, which is all anybody needs now. I go to the bank like every 6 months. Like, I mostly just use the ATM. Like, I don't want to say that there used to be. Do you think that there used to be a time where people like knew? I guess there was, where they go in and be like, oh, old Jan down at the bank, I'm going to go down there and talk to Jan about getting some money out. And
I mean, I had a very regular schedule with my payday advance people. They were like my bank. But and I would go to the bank as well. But, you know, in order to make that work, I pretty much had a routine every single Friday. I woke up a little bit earlier and I had to go sign checks and then go to the bank and cash checks and pay people off. And then so there was folks that I saw regularly. Yeah. And now I just take pictures of all my checks.
Yeah. You don't need it. You don't need the bank anymore. So a lot of people signed up for it because it's fucking free. It's worth it. And if you wanted to get access to the tellers, I believe there was an $8.95 upcharge to get, like, I guess, banking platinum service.
Bottle service.
Like, what? Like, you, if they're holding on to your money, you should have access to the people that works there. It's like, you shouldn't have to scream at a fucking machine to get a hold of your money.
No.
So they have gotten rid of this free account, which, again, this free account is all anybody needed and may have been the only good thing that Bank of America was doing at any given time. Right.
Like, well, and honestly, it's the most easy and convenient way to make transaction happen. I mean, that our whole life revolves around financial transactions. Having a bank account is essential to most of those things. You know, they have made it so cumbersome to use cash or checks or anything that isn't like a debit card.
Or, I mean, you
or like
can't,
a credit card.
You just have to put your money there anyway. It feels like I can't picture a life without a bank. You know, I have a credit union, which is, I guess, I still needed something. You can't not have, Visa gets their hands in the money no matter which way you decide to do it, it feels like.
Yeah, I mean, and also that they're also their system is based upon like credit. How long you've had a bank account is something they do look at. Like that establishes like your validity in their eyes. It's a really stupid system that it's like healthcare in my mind, where I don't think it's something that we should tackle in a way where we have to make money from it. That just doesn't make sense. Like we all, you know, are making money and working and we're trading money for goods and services, and that's all. Everybody seems to be down with that. But why do we just let Visa and MasterCard and Bank of America and all these people siphon money off of it? It doesn't make any sense. It's like you hear about a place like Japan where you can access your money from a post office and you're not paying any fees. And it's like, yeah, that makes sense, because one thing that I do have in common with like people in California or Alabama or anywhere that isn't Ohio is that I need to get a hold of my money, and I don't think that should have a fee attached to it. Like, we all need this shit. That's the only thing that makes the world work at this point.
So banking as a utility is kind of what you're talking
yes.
about.
Yes.
But in a country where fucking even utilities cost money. But yeah, I mean,
I guess just a ledger, I guess, of what you're doing would be what I would expect more, is just this much is going out, this much is coming in.
I mean, it's just, I think that like when you're dealing in the types of money where $8.95 makes a difference in your account, yeah. You know what I mean?
Did you tell them that though?
Yeah, what they've done is they've moved all the people from this electronic bank account into another account that is the full service account, where you'll be paying $8.95 fee every month, which $8.95 makes a difference in somebody's money. I know people might be laughing, but there's been times where $8.95 was a fucking tenth of what I have, you know what I mean? Or half of what, like, sometimes.
Think of your worst day at your job that you make $9 at, and think of like the worst hour of that, and thinking going through that hell just to have the ability to purchase things.
Well, and so many people are living paycheck to paycheck. I still can't forecast the world where my wife and I aren't living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, I'm 39 years old now, and we've been living paycheck to paycheck since we've been adults, and we're still living paycheck to paycheck. And things are getting a little easier now, but even then, like, I'm still way behind. Like, I'm not like paying my student loans or anything like that.
Yeah, I'm doing mostly catch up as well. Like, we basically gambled it all, where we didn't pay, like, we didn't do anything financially while we were trying to get Street Fight set up. So, yeah, I don't feel comfortable. I mean, I don't think that it's reasonable to say I could put aside enough money to live, to like retire and all of that. I mean, it's so insane that the way that we avoid that conversation of like, how the fuck are you going to have money when you can't work, you know?
Well, I saw somebody doing a tweet thread on white privilege based on a NPR article. Or a NPR marketplace thing that talked about this couple who paid off their $44,000 student loans. One of them's a PhD. I don't know what the other one does. And one of the things that they did as part of their plan was that they got their budget down to $5,000 a month.
What the fuck?
Dude, my wife and I don't make $5,000 a month, Brett. Like, together, both of us at the same time, we don't make $5,000 a month at all. Like, we have to take our bills out of something that's less than what they're using and socking money away for.
Well, that's a lot of those. I mean, a lot of that NPR, The Atlantic, so many of those magazines are like, what do you do when you only have $50,000 in investable assets?
Yeah.
It's like, it's a real conundrum. It's a pittance, really. I see all of these other movers and shakers on Wall Street that are getting their dividends, and I'm wondering how I can get my own.
Yeah, these were people. Yes, exactly. It had to have a ridiculous amount of resources anyway. But $5,000 a month is, I fucking dream of one time my wife and I together at the same, just as a team, are able
pulling in $5,000
to pull in $5,000 a month. Like, that's a fucking dream to me. Or me pulling in $5,000, like, alone, dude. If I started making $5,000 a month, that would be, I would feel like fucking Bill
Ferrari,
Gates.
Baby. Ferrari.
I'd fucking feel like I would have a car. I would have a fucking Exotico.
Yes.
Right? I'd be going to wrestling. I'd go to
You'd
WrestleMania.
Buy the T-Rex, that three-wheeled motorcycle thing.
Yeah. I'd go to WrestleMania. We're going out there to see WrestleMania. We can't goddamn afford to go to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or we can't go to Raw or SmackDown. But, I mean, if I had $5,000 a month, I could make that fucking happen. I was fucking enraged seeing that number of $5,000. I can't
it's
imagine
absurd.
There's any listeners to this show that are making $5,000 a month, the way people talk to us. You know what I mean? It's just, like, I don't know what baseline we're working, what baseline a lot of this the punditry and the news and all the advice. I don't know what baseline they're even working
from.
Well,
there's
no
baseline. It's all about aspirations. I mean, that's what conservatives is. That's what, like, conservatives tie to and what liberals fall into is, like, well, we don't want to suggest that people don't be overachievers, you know. We don't want to suggest that people shoot for anything less than $5,000 a month. And for the most of us, like, we're not going to see that, you know. Me and you might see it out of a fluke of, like, betting it all on entertainment and getting enough eyeballs or something. But for the average person, like, they're just not going to achieve that. No one in my family is living that life.
Say, like, don't go to McDonald's tonight. Instead, make one big quinoa and broccoli bowl and eat it all week.
Yes.
Like, okay, thanks. Thanks for the fucking help, you know?
Yeah, one of my aunts is a stenographer, and I know that, I mean, she was cruising on $11 or $12 an hour, I mean, which pays for food in Ohio. I mean, it's a relatively cheap place to live, but you're not fucking around. You're not like, you got five stacks and you're just like, damn, how am I about to spend these this month?
How
like,
did your budget
I need to be
get
smart about this shit, man. Like, I could put this on the Forex market and maybe get me a little short-term investment, or I could go long-term if I want to go like Roth IRA or something. Like, that's going to pay out in the long run. It's like, I still am not having those conversations with my wife. It's like, we got this damn doctor bill that they're chasing us down over. Oh shit. I wish I would have remembered. I have a bill up there. And there was a caveat in the bill that blew me away. It said, because of the age of this bill, we can't report to the credit bureau whether you paid or not and whether your account is in good standing. But it was a request for me to pay for the bill.
Oh,
it was just going to go in their pocket, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I got a, I have a bill from last year when my fucking mouth blew up, and it's so high, dude. It's like they charge for so much. Cause I went to the emergency room because I was fucking freaking out. Like, I thought that I had an infection in my blood and it was gonna fucking kill me. So I go to the goddamn emergency room, and man, I'm telling you, this fucking healthcare thing is bullshit. We have one of those flexible spending cards, but guess what? The kid needs fucking braces. So that flexible spending card isn't really doing the trick anymore. You know, like, now me and the wife can't do any medical things because we have to pay $300 a month to braces.
No, that's easy for the American people. They're tough and they're
resilient.
Full of grit. Yeah, I'm like, well, my kid needs braces. I'm just going to fight this infection myself.
Yeah.
With my raw determination.
A lot of people are fucking doing that, dude.
A lot of people are
out there
with,
not
like,
going to the doctor.
Essential oils are, like, what people are relying on.
Right. I am seeing a lot more of the, like, essential oils and herb-based remedy books and stuff like that. And probably is a symptom.
Antibiotics? The hodgepodge. You can have a grapefruit in the morning. It'll kill all of it.
A grapefruit in the morning. Yeah, I kind of felt like, I don't know. I just think, like, they shouldn't be charging $8.95 a month to people who, why can't they get that $8.95 a month out of the people that put billions of dollars in the goddamn bank?
All
you
right.
know?
Well, let me say, all right, you know, we're going to handle your money. Someone's going to be there to be the teller and take care of your checks and answer your questions. We're going to charge you $8.95 a month. Cool. I understand that. But what I also know happens in practice is that if you only got $3 in your account and they put through that $8.95 and you're negative $5.95, then all of a sudden you owe $34.95 more. And then for every day after, they're going to add another $8.95 onto your account. Like, this is just another trap to, like, get people into a ball of fucking debt.
Right, yeah.
This is a very easy way to make a whole bunch of money for Bank of America.
Right, yeah, because it will. They won't be careful about when they take that money out. I mean, we already all have so many fucking things nickel and diming our account. Like every month. I mean, like every time I check my account, I'm $10 to $15 lower because some streaming service, some recurring charge is coming out of my bank account. The saxophone's $5 a month. The fucking streaming services are $30 a month. The Amazon Prime that I have to have because I guess it's a fucking wise investment because I get TV and I get free shipping. $10 a month coming out of the account. It's just like we're already always at risk of overdrawing the account. And then there are people that are at risk of overdrawing the account. Like, I can never feel comfortable now if I have less than $50 in the account, which used to be my main living. You know what I mean? Like, my life basically was there's $50 in the bank account. We got to spend this wisely. But now it's like that's not enough anymore. You got to have $200 in the fucking account.
I've been able to keep it away from being $100, which is like comfortable as hell.
Yeah.
But that's also because I do the Street Fight money and it kind of muddies up with my own bank account. So if I need a little payday advance, I can use Street Fight money if shit gets too expensive for the month.
I mean,
I should start doing payday advances for you. I should give you that service as well.
Payday. I can't do a payday advance. They've been doing that. Some businesses have started doing that where you can.
My boss used to do it all the time.
Walmart does it. You can they have an app now where you can request your paycheck, money from your paycheck earlier on if you need it. And of course, it costs money and stuff. And I'm sure it's going to end in fucking disaster for millions of people that work at fucking Walmart.
At the end of the day, I don't know when, I realize I'm just like psychotic or like naive or idiotic and all of those things to think of a day of reckoning when we can talk about like people that just need to access $45 for their like life to continue. You know, it's like, I definitely know that feeling where it's like, it's the middle of the work week. I can't eat and I need the money. So it's kind of cool that you can jump on an app and say, front me the cash for my paycheck. But then it's like, we also have like a Barron Trump that's like getting handed down a third generation of fucking wealth of like candy coated lifestyle, you know, with no strife. And he didn't do anything to deserve that. He's no better than anybody else. You know, we have all of these like Hamptons and Belvederes and all them motherfucking hoity-toity fucking folks that don't deserve any of the money that they got. And like, we need to unabashedly say that and not feel bad to say like, I don't feel like a Bilderberger's kid or some motherfucking who's the other person, the robber barons, the fucking the railroad people,
the railroad Oh, I don't know. I have no idea who the railroad people are. Now we're dinguses. Carnegie?
Yeah, that's one of them.
The motherfucking Carnegies are bastards, man.
I don't know. I'm just like, I really, that's what fucked me up about that type of story.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, $5,000 a month ain't happening. $8.95 a month for a bank account is bullshit. It's a tax on people that can't afford it. And yeah, that's all it is. That's every time, every way they're getting money out of it is coming from us now. They're not even going after the people with all the money. They're siphoning more and more out of us what's happening.
I tell you what, man, when we did the show in Atlanta, I went outside to smoke and a dude came up and sat down and talked to me and he was like, man, I just don't have an ID. Like, my ID lapsed, and I've been trying to get it together. And that prevented, like, any sort of chance for him to have any, like, a shot at, like, a normal life. He couldn't go and, like, pull himself up from his bootstraps in any way. And these type of small fees and these small attacks just affect people in such a fucking enormous way. I was doing some research on that Trump bill, and they were saying that people in, like, the bottom half of the income bracket are going to get, like, 1 to 1.5% increase on their pay. But, like, the top half of people are going to see, like, a 2 to 2.9% increase. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm making $50,000 a year and I get a 1% increase on my pay. That's $500 fucking. And some guy that, some rich goddamn baby that got all this money handed down, or some CEO motherfucker that sits around and just sits around and makes decisions about a job he's never done in his life and a service he's never even had hands-on experience with. And to subsidize all that because, you know, 2% of his fucking 5 million is a whole lot more, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not, I mean, I don't want to play percentages with those people at all.
No, I don't want to. Yeah, exactly. They are winning.
They're the fucking, that's like that Rand Paul shit where, like, everybody should be taxed at 10% or something. It's like, no, they shouldn't. No,
those motherfuckers should be taxed at fucking 90% and they should be taxed at none.
Figure out a way to make them not get that amount of money.
Figure out. Just hold on to the motherfucking money, man. I really want to find this woman's thread, but I can't. Of course, I didn't save the damn thing. So I'm a dingus. I wanted to read that $5,000 a month thing for you, but guess it's not happen. But I will say that I don't think a lot of people make $5,000 a month. So if you're NPR and you're fucking giving people advice to only live on $5,000 a month, you should have to give everybody $5,000 a month.
Well, I mean, that's what we make for Street Fight. I was thinking about it. We talked to a guy in Denver and he was like, what do you guys do for, do you have a day job? And I was like, no, this is a real job. It's like, I mean, we're making like $10 an hour. We're getting $1,600, which is, you know, 40 hours a week at $10 an hour for 4 weeks, right?
Yeah, baby, $10 an hour. Getting up there to that minimum wage that we've been talking about.
Yeah, 15. We're close to 15. We're living it. I mean,
be there.
It's a real deal job, but it is really hard and frustrating, and I still think that a lot of the American brainwashing suggests that we shouldn't accept our current circumstances if they're bad. We shouldn't, like, accept them plainly or, like, approach them in a way that feels like you can't get anything accomplished with the amount of money you're getting for the job you do, and that we should all be aspiring to make $5,000 a month.
Right, yeah. Yeah, well, I am aspiring to make $5,000. Well, I'm
a million before I die. I don't care if it's problematic. Like, I was born broke, so I really just am trying to get all that money.
Trying to get $1 million is,
yes,
what we're trying to
see
do.
It.
I just want to.
I
want to
burn it like those fucking guys back and gals back in the '90s did. That band, there was like some UK band, they got $1 million in cash and just lit it on fucking fire.
I just want to do like I want to go like a month.
I'm gonna look it up.
I want to go like a month where I can just be a guy that fucking can spend money without checking his bank account 20 minutes later, freaking out, you know? That's what I'm shooting for. All right, I'll never find this thread. So let's move on to our next story here. This is another big story this week that came out. Everybody was talking about it. I got it from the Nazi newspaper, the New York Post. I believe, yeah, it's definitely a Nazi newspaper. But the city's police officers union is cracking down on the number of get-out-of-jail-free courtesy cards distributed to cops to give to family and friends. Patrolman's Benevolent Association boss Pat Lynch slashed the maximum number of cards that could be issued to current cops from 30 to 20 and to retirees from 20 to 10, sources told the Post. The cards are often used to wiggle out of minor troubles such as speeding tickets. The theory being that presenting one suggests you know someone in the NYPD. The rank and file is livid. They're treating active members like shit and retired members even worse than shit, griped an NYPD cop who retired on disability. All the cops I spoke to were very disappointed and they couldn't hand them out as Christmas gifts.
Okay, the band I was, the art duo I was talking about was the K Foundation. Second, I have seen the get out of jail card in real life.
I've never had one.
I had a really good friend whose sister was married to a cop, and he was also like an abuser, and they eventually got divorced.
Oh, yeah, that's a common story with people who are married to cops.
But he had a card that he gave him, and basically when you got pulled over on the side of the road, you handed the card along with your license. They saw it. They were like, you know, try to cool it out here on these streets. Don't be speeding so much and get on your way.
Good Lord. I can't imagine being able to have a card like that where they treat you with respect. Like they pull you over and you're like, here's, I just,
it was like a business card that just said like friend of the FOP. And it was like embossed and like super legit. It was a cool looking card. Like I was like, damn, I want one of those.
Did they keep the card?
I found out that someone had mentioned that eBay was selling counterfeit ones, that they've had an issue with counterfeit cards.
So it said, a source said Lynch ordered the cutback to stop the sale of cards, which were being hawked on eBay last week for as much as $200, which is like, we found out that people who aren't related to cops were getting out of jail free, and we can't have that.
We ain't going to take it on easy on everybody out here. We can't. We gotta give the boot to some people. And if you ain't knowing a cop, then you don't get the card.
The NYPD is fucking wild. Like you, when you don't
now,
live.
Remember when they went on strike? When they went on strike, they're like, "Fine, we won't fucking abuse people. See what happens."
And then people were like, "Please, just stop. Go on, just stop do doing it. Your job. That's great. I love this. This is fucking thing.
Don't
no,
do
but
it.
When we were there, it was really shocking. Their presence is so much more shocking than any other city I've been to.
NYPD was like on every street corner. People were flying that flag.
Them motherfuckers had graffiti, NYPD graffiti.
Oh yeah, buildings. Local street thugs were like throwing up Blue Lives Matters fucking murals.
They just, I mean, fucking dude, when we were driving into New York, we drove under a bridge and like it was right before we got, was probably 20 miles out of New York, and there were NYPD flags hanging on the bridge, and it was just like, oh God, it's like we're going to a fucking DMZ out here, man. Jeez, fuck.
Yeah,
the height. Can you hide the cops a little bit? Like at least in Columbus, they try to hide the fucking guys.
Pledge fealty.
Yeah, that's why. Yeah, oh, just know, these get out of jail free cards. Like growing up for me, it was like the Fraternal Order of Police sticker. A lot of people would stick the FOP sticker on their car.
My friend's mom did.
It don't work. It doesn't because they send them to everybody in the fucking mail.
That's true.
Know?
That's
everybody
true.
Gets one in the mail, and then you can send them a thing and be like, "Hey, I don't." But I mean. I just think it's crazy that like even the guts of the people that hand over the card, it, like for me is like, fuck, I'm afraid to, I've never bribed somebody in my entire life. And when I say I've never bribed somebody, I'm talking about like when people are like, hey man, if you want to go to a nice restaurant, you don't want to wait in line, slip the host $5 or $10, $50 and they'll put you in line. I'm like, that shit doesn't work, dude. I've worked in restaurants. It doesn't happen. It just doesn't fucking work, and I'm not going to do it. It seems humiliating. I would take the $50 if I was the host to take the money and be like, all right,
no,
we'll get
I would
to
comply.
As soon as possible.
No, I would comply. I'm like that, I mean, if you, yes, that man just handed me $50 for a better table. Hand me more if you want a better table.
I've just never been a person that could do that.
That's a movie shit. Nobody's pulling that movie.
Nobody does it, right? That's the same thing. Yeah. All that
I mean,
stuff
maybe
is
like Patrick Bateman does that shit.
Maybe right? It happens in, I like think American that's a thing Psycho. That probably happens in like New York because everybody's pushy. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, come over here. Hey, we over here in New York, we do it the right way. Slide you the money.
I have to say that, like I mentioned this on Delete Your Account, but ever since like Street Fighter has been paying that $10 an hour wage, I've been friendlier with my money. Like I've been handing it out more. Like when I take my lifts, I just give everybody $5 no matter what. And I like, I do enjoy handing out cash it's nice to spread the wealth around.
I don't mind that. It's just, I mean, I hand out cash. I've been tipping a lot more. I tip 25% no matter what now. Sometimes
dope.
30. It's just, like, if I can't afford to do 25 or 30%, then I don't go out to eat. Because I feel like, man, I'm probably making up for 10 people that come in there and pay like and tip like 10%.
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people who go out. Like, I used to know this one dude that would go out to eat and just like, he'd just be like, I ain't got money to be throwing around at tips. And I'm like, fuck, you don't have money to eat fucking out then, man. I used to go out to eat. Me and my wife used to go out to eat with this couple, and they wouldn't tip. They were just like, we don't tip. Was, you know, you're going to eat at like a Bob Evans, you know?
Yeah, I just want the food. I didn't really want the service. They just make me do the service, so I'm not going to pay for it.
So Katie and I would always fucking turn around and walk back in after they walked out and throw more money on the fucking table because we always feel bad about it, dude. And just, I remember his attitude was just always like, well, this is their job and they gotta go do it, and I don't have the money for that. I don't have money to just be throwing around. But, you know, I wasn't smart enough to say, you don't have money to go out to dinner. You have money to eat takeout. Fucking eat takeout. You go to Bob Evans, get your shitty food and take it home and sit in front of your shitty TV and eat it.
Did they do to go back then?
They did to go always. They always
that was a real innovation.
To go.
Yeah.
They didn't do curbside, which is the top thing. Like that curbside shit. I got out of going to fast casuals right when they like added the curbside, like where they would just bring it out to like you pull up and you press the button and they're like, oh, we're coming. And I was always just like, I'm kind of jealous that I was eating at those restaurants all those years. I had to go in and pick it up at the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. I've done some mystery shops for that actually, where they want to test like ordering on an app. So you just go and order your food on an app, sit in the parking lot, call up your food, and they bring it out to you. And I'm like, this is not bad. Like, I cannot complain about this.
I've had a really weird like realization about the Grubhub and Uber Eats stuff, though, is that the food is cold when it gets to you.
Oh, it's
never figured
out. It's not worth it.
It's bad. It's just actually a bad way to get your food.
I mean, and here's the thing. I mean, unless you're in like maybe a super congested city, I drive to pick up my food. I went and bought Indian food the other night. It was 11 minutes. Okay. I got to enjoy like 3 songs that I wanted to hear. I picked up my food. They also gave me a discount for pickup because they didn't have to deliver it to me.
Right.
And if you call them on the phone and deliver, they're like, if you don't do any of the other bullshit, if you don't go through an app or like save the dishes or our website, call me up. They give you a 10% discount. And I just went and picked it up. And it was way better than having somebody do it for $2.45.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, sorry, I know somebody needs $2.45, but like I can take care of that myself. I don't need to. That's something that like I haven't got comfortable with that. There's been moments where I'm like, I'm going to use GoPuff. Like, it's really cool that like I can just ask for beer on my phone and then someone will show up. But when they show up, I'm like, fuck, you didn't have to go through all that trouble to bring this stupid beer to my house. I could have walked around the corner. I live near like a superb beer place and I can just walk there. I mean, I could wear my fucking slippers over there. So yeah. It's stupid for me to ask for this service on demand.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I live in the part of the city where there's probably the maximum like really good local restaurants too. I don't even have to eat fucking chains where I live.
No, not at all.
You know, we live in like the best. I mean, we live in the urban part, the cool urban part of Columbus, and or as cool as it gets. And I have ordered food a million times, and every time it gets to me, I'm like, this fucking, it's all falling apart.
You know,
it's always
steamy
cold.
As shit, man. You got so many water droplets hanging off the top of that styrofoam, man. That shit is moist.
Well, that's
everything
where you're
like, just fucking, it's like marinated together and like lukewarm and I just feel like choking down vomit.
That's why you're lucky you're not a burger boy. You're not like,
I've
not into like
that.
Meat and hamburgers, because I'll get a fucking,
not never.
I'll order myself a nice Western burger from somewhere and it'll get there in a fucking
soggy. It's just
bun
like
is
a swamp.
The motherfuckers delivered me one time and it didn't have a bottom bun.
What?
It was just top bun on top of the burger.
I just don't do it anymore. Is that some diet thing or something? Is that like some sort of locavore shit?
They can do it with pizza. They somehow figured out how to do it with pizza. That's all I get delivered these
days. No, pizza's perfected, man. Yeah. Somehow cardboard keeps pizza piping hot.
I don't know how they figured out pizza. Some fucking God bless the scientists that figured out pizza, but no, they haven't figured out all the other foods yet.
No, they wrap up those French fries in like fucking saran wrap or some shit, and you're like, what are you doing here? Like, this is a potato mush now.
It sucks. We got a thing from Stefan, one of our buddies, about weed. It was from an LAPD manual on gangs. I believe that was Stefan. It might have been somebody else, actually. I don't want to give the credit to
I think it was.
I'm just going to say that the Street Fighters group on Facebook is the maximum place for scuzzy information.
It's lit. It's
and
fire.
Vaporwave.
It's the most fire.
Vaporwave recommendations, wrestling video recommendations, and then also just fucking hallucinogen recommendations.
Illegal books. We had an illegal book thread. Thank you, Jake, Icy Jake, for sharing his plethora of illegal books in PDF form.
Yeah, so
I put Principa Discordia in there, and
It's just it's a really incredible group if you can get in, if you can answer the questions.
You have to get it
correctly.
Right. I love blocking people more than anything. We have a lot of Fugazi people that come through that it's like, you are bullshit, right?
I'm going to say it right now.
You don't know about shit about shit.
We're sweet boys. We're two sweet boys. So I'm going to say this right now. Flat and yellow and nothing else will get you in, motherfucker.
Flat and yellow are the
flat
answers.
And yellow is all that's getting you
flat
in.
Flat and yellow, flat and yellow, flat what? And yellow, flat and yellow.
A joke ain't going to get you in.
Uh-huh. You know what it
nothing
is.
Nothing getting you in. Flat and yellow, baby.
Flat and yellow.
So this was a thing about stoner gangs, Brett. And, you know, we've
Lodies. They're called Lodies as well. I like that term.
A lot of gang... We've gotten a lot of police, inside police kind of, inside police gang wrecks. You know what I mean?
Like, well, we did the different types of workers, like the bad workers. We even talked about with Q-Mars and Rokea on Delete Your Account about the OSS wrote that manual for sabotaging your workplace, right?
Yeah, it wasn't Stefan, by the way. I'm going to get the right person because that's
yeah, you
a dick
give that
move
credit.
To get the right mother to get the wrong person. So I'm looking for. But this is about gangs that they're this is the police. They're trying to figure out stoner gangs. And I guess I'll just read. I'll
when
read
is this
the,
from. Is this current?
I'm going to find out. I'm going to read the first part of this because it's further down in the days, Brett. I don't think people want to listen to me kill time as I scroll.
No, hit us with it.
I'm gonna hit you with the first part here, okay? Stoner gangs. The stoners, as a group, set themselves apart from everyone. That's because we're wonderful, right? We do. Thank you very much for letting us know that we're extraordinary people.
I'm a unique experience.
The origin of their name came from other youth who observed them consistently stoned on drugs or alcohol.
Yeah, or vandalism, those, rubber cement.
Those stoners that form into gangs tend to be multiracial, Mexican-American,
nice.
And white.
Right, that sounds like some Fast and Furious shit.
It doesn't sound bad at all.
Yeah,
this
that's
gang sounds
a
beautiful.
Pro.
We're stoned on drugs and alcohol, and we're diverse.
Yeah. Hey, man, I love to get fucked up with you. Like, I feel like we're in a Verizon commercial right now. Everybody's here.
I feel like it's a Nickelodeon show, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, we should be on Teen Disney right now with this fucking diversity that's going on right now.
In those neighborhoods that are racially mixed, but there have no African-American sooner gangs recorded in the Los Angeles area. They dress in red or black clothing, preferring athletic Ancom. Jersey tops with heavy metal music stars displayed. The
Slayer
hair is
basketball
worn
jersey.
The hair is worn longer with less emphasis on looking sharp. Image is not important. That's bullshit.
That's true. I mean, stoners can be like a little lackadaisical on the hygiene.
I ain't trying to look sharp, but I want to look at they dress in red or black clothing.
I'm a sharp guy. I can't help it.
They prefer either athletic jersey tops with heavy metal music stars displayed.
So I really want to get a Madball basketball jersey and like a pair of jorts and just fucking rock that shit with bare feet and then do a circle pit or something.
So you're thinking suicidal tendencies.
Exactly.
Like suicidal tendencies basketball shirt is what they're on about.
I mean, somebody that wears like a bandana, like the thick way on the top of their head, you know, long hair. Once again, long hair. Yeah. Long hair. Don't care. I used to rock that, man. I used to have a real hot Jesus look when I was a young man where my shit touched my shoulders and my beard was like long too. And I was doing the prophet shit big time, man.
You were trying to be David Koresh.
Yeah. I was definitely looking for some cult members. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's weird. The greasy hair thing is, I'm kind of one of those, I kind of never got that way.
Yeah, you're a germaphobe guy.
But I shave my head, actually. So that's also maybe part
wear,
of
like,
stoner.
Filthy, right? Ratty, tatty jeans, right?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, did anybody's
JNCOs? Was your favorite shirt, like, oily, stained in the armpits?
Was anybody's JNCOs clean? Like,
no. The salt grime always built up on him, and you couldn't do shit about it. You just had to roll on.
Nope.
He's like, fuck it. I don't see it. No, I don't see the discoloration.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's fucking jeans were clean, man.
No, man. That hem fell off because them shit were too long.
So that's our first little piece about the gangs. Let's go into although Chicano gangs are considered traditional with close ties to family and a Chicano identity.
That's what white people are jealous about of them.
Yeah.
The most.
A new element has entered the gang milieu, and that is the Sooner gang lifestyle.
Sooners?
That's what it
says. Isn't
saying.
That a football
Boomer
team?
Sooner.
Who's the Sooners? Isn't there a team called the Sooners?
I don't know what
this
means.
There's a team like the Iowa Sooners or some shit.
The Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
They say
Oakie
Boomer
Sooner.
That's my dude,
I'm
JR.
A Sooner.
JR loves that shit. Boomer Sooner, man. Okay. Hey, man, Boomer Sooner.
Yeah, the other thing is that we did notice, and other people confirmed this in the comments, that this is riddled with spelling errors and grammatical errors. And I think when they say Sooner, they actually mean stoner.
That's possible. It could be, I mean, you don't know, really.
No, I'm a Sooner, too,
at
heart. I mean, Buckeye first, Sooner second.
Holy fucking
no, Hoosier.
Shit, Brett.
I'm a Hoosier, too, man. I stand with Indiana because they live in a fucked up, oppressive environment.
Fuck
I really
Indiana.
Identify. That's my V for Vendetta, people.
I'm with you on that. I'm about to find this, finally. God, Facebook, your fucking feed, your algorithm gimmick. James Tanner, thank you for this.
Oh, yeah. I think we share the same birthday, actually.
You and James?
Yeah, I think so. Let me check I think we do. This is some synchronicity right here.
That's tight shit. I mean, I'm with it. Okay, so they are less concerned with popularity, greatly adds to the spread of I'm sorry.
Yeah, we share the same birthday, me and James Tanner.
Okay. They are less concerned with keeping ties with family or identifying with their Mexican birthright. The heavy metal fad popularity greatly adds to the spread of their what is their philosophy? It's people
Dude.
That like to get stoned and listen to heavy metal.
Yeah, and I tell you what, I mean, I knew a lot of guys that loved heavy metal to death, that wore black shirts and all Marilyn Manson gear and Skinny Puppy and all that, and they were doing like acid on their eyeballs and smoking joints out by the bus stop that was across the street that technically wasn't on school property. So I can see that being considered some sort of a gang. I mean, it's like an outlier group. When I was out there, I felt like it's, you know, it is its own ecosystem.
Right. I mean, this is cops like really just
yeah,
trying
I mean, they're
to
going too far. I mean, this is, you know, it's kids that like don't want to be a part of the school or are doing something else way more awesome than school. And then they're tying these like really wild narratives. There's a video I saw a few years back of this white dad looking motherfucker in his like Kohl's khakis and polo shirt. And he's like trying to decode all of the tags that are in his backyard. He's like, these are kings. Latin kings came through here. They claimed territory and the Brooklyn pimps took them down. They crossed out the tag there and they tried to assert their dominance. And there was a war back here, you know, while I was sleeping. It's like Yeah, what the fuck are
the
you
Vice
talking?
Lords ever
the
show
Vice
up?
Lords.
That's my
yeah.
favorite gang name, yeah. right? The two favorite gang
the
names
Flins,
ever.
Man.
Errol Flynn's and the Vice
the
Lords.
The Errol Flynn's, the Vice Lords were showing up, man. The Everybody.
The Vice Lords is the tightest name of all time.
I want to be in the Vice Lords.
I just like the name. Like, I want to be a Vice Lord. Like, just like not if I, in a gang.
That's the type of like military insignia I would like to have, is like some sort of Vice Lord, you know, bars on my hoodie.
Like, this one's for like sex, this one's for drugs,
yeah,
this one's
rock and roll,
rock and roll, this one, like, all the vices, gambling. I got my
yeah,
gambling
all your
strap.
Vices, yes. You have to tell a really depraved story about each vice. And then they'll rate your lordiness.
I wish we could take the name Vice Lords now and just
yeah
start
I don't
doing
want to appropriate
now.
I don't want to colonialize the no. Vice Lords, but I think it could become an elite club that takes over the globe.
We love vice, man. We get a fucking police thing written about us. So basically, these are kids that like to get stoned and
yes.
listen to heavy metal.
Yeah, it's alarming that they don't give a shit about algebra because it's not usable to all of us once we get out of school. They're not interested in like the Great Gatsby and why it's raining during bad parts of the story. Right?
You want to hear? Yeah, and you know, let me just bring this up. This is like, they did this. They do this with heavy metal kids all the time throughout history, throughout the history of this country. They take a group of kids and they decide that it's time to be fucking terrible to them and adults to bully them. And like at this same time, just judging by the language that they're using, they were calling white kids that do this satanic and bringing them into police stations and trying to scare them straight. And yeah. these were just Mexican kids that listened to heavy metal, you know, and this was just an excuse to fucking rouse some Mexican kids that bothered the police.
Yeah. And everybody's and it's real. And they've scared themselves through media and like the grapevine and movies into thinking that like these rituals are happening, that kids are out there like, oh, I don't like school anymore. I think we should just kill people. We should kill one of our classmates instead of going to school.
Well, and I mean, even the way that they classify gangs and shit, like a lot of times
Murder by Numbers, that movie was tight. That was a good kill your classmates.
I mean, a lot of times for me, like, the way that they classified gangs a lot of times sounded to me like a bunch of teenagers hanging out together and then sometimes deciding to do some bad shit. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I think about the scenarios that I was in, and like the thing is they were so mundane, the shit that we were doing. But if from afar, if you were to cook up some sort of scenario, it seemed very foreboding.
Sinister.
It's like these kids are hanging out in the woods and they're just like, they're accumulating beer and fireworks and drugs and motorcycle, you know, like dirt bikes and BMX, and they're doing all of this wild shit, and eventually it's going to boil over to the point where the only thrill they have is running through the street and chopping people's necks open.
Well, I mean, because we used to hang out in the woods and throw bullets in a fire.
Right.
We just thought
or
it was
hit them with a fucking hammer. We used to try to hit them with a hammer to see if they would shoot.
We just thought it was the fucking raddest thing in the whole world. It wasn't like any kind of like, we would throw the bullet in a fire, then we'd all take off running and climb up a tree to hide from it.
We would put a golf ball inside of a water balloon slingshot and just fire it into the neighborhood. I mean, that thing would go miles, it looked like. And you'd just be like, well, we're going to go hide and see if someone shows up to see what happened.
But you're white kids, and that's mischief when you're white
True.
Kids. Whereas, like, that would be considered gang activity, I think.
Yeah,
others.
That's stoner gang activity.
That's stoner. So here's
I got high off of it.
I mean, everybody gets high off of fucking troublemaking. That's why it kicks ass. Horsing around and troublemaking are two of the fucking best highs you can. That's what I tell young people. I'm like, look, you don't have to do drugs right now. You can just horse around. Why don't you just horse around? Horseplay. Like, have some fun. Fucking smack each other around a little bit. Fucking vandalize something.
These stoner gangs are creating their own weapons out of PVC pipe and the igniter switch from a grill. They have potato guns, banana guns. They're using all kinds of expectorants to shoot out projectiles, you know, at law enforcement.
I read a report one time about this guy who was like, I fucking need to study these street gangs in the 90s, right? When everybody was like freaking out about street gangs.
Sure.
This guy's like, I got to study these fucking street gangs, man. So he's like, I'm going to go to Compton. I'm going to find some Crips and I'm going to fucking hang out with these gangs and see what's going on. And like, he decided against it after like 3 days of finding out that all they did was sit around and smoke weed all day. It was like, they're teenagers. They're dumbass teenagers that are doing dumbass things with each other.
Yeah, unfortunately, most of our drug trade is not provided by like highly sophisticated drug rings that are corporatized and shit with a hierarchy.
Killers, like they got the fucking trained killers that roll up on a dirt bike with an Uzi, and you're like, guys, that's movies. That comes from the movies. That it's rad looking in the movies. I understand, and I'm sure somebody maybe wants to do it, but it's just that's not the life that people get killed. You know what I mean? It's generally done in a much more clumsy way than I think people actually think is happening. You know.
Yeah, we don't drill down that deep at all.
Well, here's the history of stoner gangs. Stoners have been in Los Angeles County for approximately the last decade.
Okay, probably ever since weed's been around.
Named for the Rolling Stones or getting stoned, they have variously been known as Hessians, hippies, rockers, rebels, neo-pagan gangs.
Yes, I love all of those.
And prior to that, Lodies. I want to be
a Lodi. Like a Lodi.
Yeah, L-O-A-D-I. Not L-O-D-I, yeah. Like the Danzig city.
No, I want it like loaded.
Stoners.
No, I'm loaded. I'm a Lodi. Like, I'm always loaded on some shit. Like, I'm loaded up with, like, caffeine and booze and mushrooms and THC and CBD.
Right. And it says stoners or Lodis was applied to the group by their teenage peers. By the way, these motherfuckers are harassing these kids for something that their peers caught. Like, it's not even like an official gang. They're like, hey, all the kids in school call this guy a stoner. He must be in a gang.
These children said they're called Lodis. They smoke marijuana and listen to music about the devil.
Yeah.
What can we do about these wayward youth?
Oh, this is weird. Stoners are generally junior high or high school students and tend to be better students as a group than their more traditional gang better students than more traditional, like the gangs that fight each other and are suspended all the time. Yes, they are. They usually stay in school and participate in athletics. Many groups are allied with fellow stoner gangs and feud with other music subculture groups. None of this is fucking true, dude. None of this is true. There wasn't a word in that fucking whole history in that whole paragraph that was fucking true about stoner kids. Every fucking thing that they're talking about, I used to run up to people that listen to like Pearl Jam and shit when I was in college and be like, Pearl Jam fucking sucks, Korn kicks ass, and then fucking push them, you know. And like, that's not a gang war that I was at with somebody. I was just telling them like what they like sucked. That's what they're saying. They said they feud over other music.
Yeah, I mean, that's you're like passionate, man. Once you get deep into that Lodi, like, once you're loaded up right and you're in the zone and you can just hear music at a better frequency than everybody else can, you got to, like, punk them.
Yeah.
Right? That's part of being it. It's like, I got a superior taste in music, man. I'm listening to this shit in an elevated state.
It's just some dude that's like fucking saying like, you know, fucking Judas Priest really says things. Like,
yes.
You know, fucking New Kids on the Block, what are they saying, man? They're just singing about girls and shit. Judas Priest is living after midnight, you know? It's no bullshit. They're breaking the law. What's Justin Bieber doing, you know? That's like probably what the war's with. Because that's... fucking teenagers fight over music. I know that it seems to a cop, to a fucking boring idiot academic style cop, it might sound crazy that people are passionate about things when they're teenagers and they maybe can't keep their emotions intact.
Sure, they're a little intense.
Yeah, they fight about movies and they fight about fucking TV shows because they feel like it matters, man. Adults do it. Adults. No. A motherfucking adult will have a meltdown because somebody says a Chicago deep dish pizza is a pizza. Like, that's just the way humans are. That's not gang activity.
No, people attach themselves diehard to every subject and circumstance.
Yeah, yeah. Evidence of stoner / heavy metal influence. Symbolism. That which deals with the occult or Satanism. That's just rad. They're just trying to scare their fucking parents, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obvious choice. Once again, I mean, totally cooked up, though. It's like... the news I saw recently was like the Church of Satan in the state of Missouri beat back some sort of abortion rights law.
Yeah,
you know, like that's what their type of thing they're doing. Like, who gives a shit? Like, Satan is working for the overall good.
It just really reeks of somebody being assigned to research gangs and then going out and finding all the bad kids in town and then putting them in groups, you know what I mean?
It just seems like some you don't lack clarity. Like, it you were around dipshits that were like, I fucking love the devil, and they were just doing it to be like annoying dipshit people. Me? Like, what it's always been, right?
Me and you fucking it's say shocking. That we worship Satan because it drives people fucking crazy.
No, I know. I remember when I was a kid in my art class, I drew a sickle and hammer on my hands. And my teacher was so fucking offended, but she was like this really cool goth lady that showed us like her personal portfolio, which is like dead animals and like partial
she's
nudity,
offended?
Like a butt cheek. Like, she was like, she was pushing the boundaries of like taste and all that shit. But, you know, like, we were just playing around with a sickle and hammer, and then she was just like, do you know what that really stands for? And then she was like, had a moment about it. And I was just like, geez, Louise lady, you aren't an edgelord at all. Like, I thought you were trying to guide me in the way of like honking off the fucking normies. Like, I thought I was going to be tweaking people and you got fucked up yourself. Like, you don't even play too much.
Just nervous. Listen to the heroes of stoner membership, Brett. This is fucking crazy. This is a lie. This is a person that's making shit up. Aleister Crowley. Anton LaVey.
Popular.
Adolf Hitler?
No.
Charles Manson.
I knew about him, and he was also on a lot of t-shirts at like the alternative festival shit.
Yeah, there was a lot of Charles Manson. Axl Rose wore it, so it was like, oh, that's fucking cool. This Axl Rose is into it.
Yeah, there is a lot there too. Yeah. I think it's a shorthand of saying, like, do you know the story about this fucked up individual?
I think
it's kind of like what you were. It's kind of like what you were doing with Gigi Allen last week, where it's like, I mean, I don't have to like co-sign this guy, but like, it's somebody that it fucking existed. Like, have you heard the tale? It's just like a fucking Pecos Bill.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. I didn't like Charles Manson's dead now, but it's like. I went through a phase where I was just like, I just want all my teachers to see me reading a book about Charles Manson.
Yeah, I know. Just to make them clutch their pearls.
Yeah. That's just, I guess, edgelord. I guess that's what I am. I am a edgelord at heart, you know? But I don't love Adolf Hitler. I never went through a phase in my life where, like, you know who's tight, Hitler?
I never did a Hitler thing either, too.
That to scare people, right? They just added that so people would be like, these stoners are into fucking Hitler? What the hell?
Yeah, man, they get stoned off that weed. They open their minds so much that they adopt the ideals of Adolf Hitler.
Oh, so you want to hear what kind of criminal activity the stoner gangs are up to?
Selling weed.
Stoners tend to be involved in the drug subculture and commonly abuse such drugs as speed, true, yeah. LSD, true, rock cocaine, nah, and PCP. We're talking like this.
Yeah, this is old, right?
This is old.
This is 90s.
I never even been offered PCP, and if I had, I probably would have tried it.
I've never had a chance for PCP, I have to say.
Would you try it?
Fuck
would
yeah.
Would you be into it? Because as they always say, it makes you stronger. I'm like, dag, I'll try some PCP. Because they made us watch a video about PCP in health class when I was in high school, and this woman, they were like, she's not usually this strong, but she was able to tip a car when she was on PCP. These people have superhuman strength. And I was like, "That I got to get some PCP.
Yeah, I mean, if I had a baby, I would get a babysitter and give it a shot. I mean, I got that luxury now, so I definitely would try to go off
you get
some
a sitter,
PCP.
Do some PCP.
Yeah, I want to know what's up with that.
What's going on?
Ooh-wee. What's up with that?
They easily flow into and out of gang areas because they are perceived as no threat because they're no threat. They're not just perceived just as that high. And actually are a threat.
They're just high and trying to listen to music or break down a fucking Black and Mild.
This is the most ridiculous thing. Stoners tend to participate in animal sacrifice and ritual crimes as graveyard or church desecrations. Suicides within the stoner gangs are increasing, and many researchers feel this is due to the heavy metal music influence.
When my dude went to OU for college, we went down there for Halloween and we did a bag of shrooms. And we just walked through the graveyard and we desecrated like all those fucking graves. Like we just danced all over them and like, you people are so insignificant. And we were just talking about how arrogant it is to try to like leave behind this type of thing. And it was like the most sacrilegious thing I've ever fucking done.
We used to go to this graveyard in the middle of the fucking, like, so we would drive about 25, 30 minutes out of town onto this like really country road about 5 miles off the freeway, and there was just this little graveyard. There was probably like 6 gravestones, and it just, you go out there at 3 a.m, that shit is fucking scary, you know. We would go out there in the summer and we would just take 2 big gas cans and we would just put them on the biggest, we would take the gas cans and we put them on the biggest tombstone and we would just huff gas. All of us would take turn huffing that gasoline and then go off running in the fucking cornfields and screaming and grab assing out there. And it was fucking, that was one of the wilder things I did.
Yeah, I mean I think really we do a bad job in America addressing that issue. Like nobody wants to talk about dying, right?
No.
It's like a tragedy or like a plot point in a show, but it's like something we don't like a plan for or discuss.
Yeah.
So
we got to get this last paragraph in. This phenomenon creates various problems for law enforcement in that these gangs are different from traditional gangs. Stoner philosophy and motivation differs greatly from traditional street gangs, but their criminal potential and propensity for violence are at least as great. That's not true.
If I have to,
I get violent. That's just what I fucking do.
Yeah.
Oh, God, police. Your internal literature will always fascinate me.
They really fuck it up. I really love looking up, like, some... one of my favorite podcasts ever. Oh, yeah, dude. They will share, from time to time, like, leaked police reports on, like, the slang for drugs that just make no sense at all.
Yeah.
You know? They do such a terrible job.
Yeah. All right, well, we're done.
Most of the people haven't even... do cop work haven't even done drugs.
Yeah.
Really think that, like, I think they are convinced that, like, marijuana does make you crazy.
Well, yeah, they're convinced that PCP makes you strong.
Well, yeah.
All right, man, we're done. I'm going to go home and try to shake this fucking bummerness out of me.
Get them winter blues off.
Get rid of them, baby.
If you want more of what we do and you're willing to pay for it, you can do that for only $1 a month on patreon.com/streetfightradio. We have bonus episodes with our friends and family and people that we like, themed shows, fun shows. You never know what you're going to get, but, we're having, you know, more and more, we're having a lot more exploratory subjects and topics and fun things happening over on our bonus feed. It's just $1 a month. We also have a written thing that we do. If you want exclusive writing from Brian and I and listeners of the show, friends of the show, for $3 a month, you can get a digital copy of our zine that we put out every single month with the topics range. We're sending out the romance zines very soon. We sent out the family zine last month. We did food, the occult. We started with small business tyrants. There's been so many fun topics, so many really good, a lot of good artwork, a lot of good articles, and a lot of, you know, really interesting stuff happening in our zine. I'm proud of it. I'm glad that we're continuing it on in 2018, and I think it's going to get bigger and better, like everything else Street Fight's been doing has. Thanks for everybody that supports us financially or just listens, that keeps us motivated and moving forward. And we're coming to a city near you. We're going to be in Asheville, North Carolina, February 25th at Auditorium. We're going to be in New York City at the end of March, like the 28th or 29th. clear your schedule. That's going down at Littlefield again. We're going to be in New Orleans on April 7th, that Saturday. We're going to do a live show that night, so make some time for it. Beyond that, we're it's in the air. You know, Iowa, L.A., Texas, some of our people, maybe in Florida, might get a visit, but we're ready to keep it moving upward and onward. And it's only because y'all want to spread this mess across the U.S. and make it into something that can eventually take over the culture and give everybody a break. We're Street Fight. Peace.
Do you feel alone?
Well, sometimes I do.
Do you feel a place?
Feel like there's nothing at all.
Fear in the unknown.
Stand into the abyss.
Craving an escape.
Waiting for